Well, good morning and welcome to Perspectives on WFSU-FM, and also good evening and welcome to Perspectives on 4FSU. Before we get underway, a reminder, you're always invited to be part of the proceedings via phone and email. 414-1234 is the number in the greater Tallahassee metro area, 800-926-8809 if long distance between you and us. Perspectives at WFSU.org is the email. And if you would like to tweet us, you may at WFSU Perspective. This Perspectives, of course, being telecast tonight at 7:30 Eastern Time. I'm on 4FSU, Comcast Channel 4 in Leon, Gadsden, Wakulla, Madison, Taylor, and Brooks counties. You'll also be able to see it online at our Perspectives page, which you can find at WFSU.org/elections2016. A comprehensive listing of many, many different features and articles and stories relating to the huge electoral lineup that we have for this particular go-around. This is program number 2, and we are focusing on the race for Leon County Sheriff. And we have 3 of the 4 contenders here. We may be joined by contender number 4, we hope, in short order. But we'll go around from my left to your right on the radio and also on the TV screen to say hello to the contender who is the incumbent in that job, Mike Wood, current sheriff of Leon County, running now as an NPA.
Yes. And good morning. Thank you for having me.
Thank you very much, Sheriff. And we'll get to the whys and wherefores of that decision here in just a little bit. But we'll go around to the other side here. Now the lone Democrat in the race, former Tallahassee police chief and head of DOC and DJJ and over in Gadsden County and now back here in Leon running for sheriff, Walt McNeil. Good to see you, sir.
Thank you, Tom. It's great to be here, man.
And a former watch commander for Leon County Sheriff's Department running as a Republican for sheriff is Charlie Strickland. And you're the Talon guy now.
That I am.
Okay. How long you've had that business, Charlie?
We started the business as a training company in 2008, and we opened our range 3 years ago as of July the 1st. It's been phenomenally successful. We're really excited about it.
Well, eager to get your take on the race for sheriff and qualifications and what everyone brings to the table on that. So, and again, this is in no particular order. It was kind of the way that people just kind of fell out as we got around the table here this morning. So, Mike Wood, let's talk to you first. Number one, the fact that you are running now to be elected to sheriff, if that be the will of the voters here. You were appointed sheriff by Governor Rick Scott after a longtime sheriff, Larry Campbell, passed just a couple years back, tragically. But you're now in the running for the job. So, again, what do you think you bring as far as your specific qualifications to that position?
Well, you know, I spent 31 years, the first 31 years of my career with Sheriff Campbell, Sheriff Boone, of course, as well. Sheriff Campbell was there the entire time. And, you know, so I've had the privilege to serve virtually every opportunity the sheriff's office provides, from volunteer reserve deputy to director of law enforcement division, director of the jail, up until including, unfortunately, the way the circumstances laid out, I was appointed by the governor. And so I've served as a sheriff for the last 18 months. So I feel like I bring a really, really, really broad amount of experience. I certainly have spent my entire adult life in public service and building my resume to get here. That was not my intent on day one, but when you look back, you see things clear. So it has sort of manifested itself from there to now. So, you know, I have a passion for leadership. I developed that early in my career. So as an operational guy for many, many years, as a deputy sheriff, a detective, a dive team member, a SWAT team member, ultimately, I became, you know, the SWAT team commander, sniper team leader, SWAT team commander. When I was promoted to the executive command staff level about 10 years ago, you know, my shift was somewhat away from operations because you don't get your hands dirty, for lack of a better term, you know, at the executive command staff level. You certainly have to be aware and have understanding, which I do. But I spent the last 10 years at the executive command staff level, you know, helping make decisions, or certainly assisting. The final decisions always rested with the sheriff, as you know. But so I feel like that's just a wide variety of experiences. I'm born and raised here in Tallahassee. I feel like I have a a great feel for this community. I know I have a great passion and love for this community. So therein lies how I got from there to here.
Okay. Walt McNeil, your qualifications, background, salient points that you think you bring to the table, sir.
Well, Tom, you hit on them when you introduced me there. Fact of the matter is that I have been in law enforcement over 35 years, basically, and started as a patrol officer, worked my way up to be the police chief in, for the city of Tallahassee for 10 years, from 1997 till 2007. Led a great police department, one that became nationally known for innovation and being on the cutting edge. In fact, my leadership and the leadership of our command staff was such that we have police chiefs that are that have left the Tallahassee Police Department that are all over the country right now, and very proud of the fact that we were able to, with that kind of leadership, share it with the people of the state of Florida. Also, I had the opportunity to work for Charlie Criss. Charlie Criss looked at what we were doing in the Tallahassee Police Department and said, particularly as it relates to juvenile issues and juvenile crime, and that, you know, we started the civil citation initiative that has now become something used not only in the state of Florida but across the entire country. We developed that right there at the Tallahassee Police Department. Charlie saw what we were doing and decided that we needed the same kind of leadership at the Department of Juvenile Justice. And I spent a year there. We put together what I call the blueprint for change all across the state of Florida, where we put the blueprint commission together with Lieutenant Governor at the time, Brogan. We worked on revising the entire juvenile justice system. We did away with all those boot camps we had in the state at that point in time. And after we completed that rehaul, if you will, of a juvenile justice center, our juvenile justice structure, Charlie said, "Walt, we have the same problem with respect to our prisons. Can you give that a shot?" And I said, "Look, Charlie, I know nothing about prisons, but if you're talking about leadership, I'll go there and we'll get some things changed." And we did that. Fortunately, one of the major goals we had was reentry, something that was a huge problem in our state. We had most of the people leaving prison at the time were coming right back, and Charlie asked that I change that whole process, and we did. We created reentry initiatives across the state, and some of those are being modeled all over the country as well. So what I bring to the table here is 35 years of leadership, somebody who understands the issues in our community, has worked with our youth in our community to drive down crime. As you know, we have the highest crime rate of any county in the state of Florida, 14th most violent community in the state of Florida, based on what other people say. I'm not saying that. That's what other folks are saying. But it certainly means that we need to focus on doing something about those problems. And with my track record of leadership and getting people to understand exactly where we're going, getting buy-in from citizens, getting law enforcement officers, citizens, all working in the same direction for the same purpose, the same goal, we can drive the crime problem down in our community. And that's what I plan to do if I'm elected sheriff.
Okay. Charlie Strickland, some similarities but also some differences in your background and qualifications for the job.
Well, I'm cut from a little different cloth. I came from Mariana a long time ago. I grew up on a peanut farm, where all I really wanted to do was be a farmer. My dad showed me how to drive a tractor as soon as my leg had reached a clutch and I could actually stop the thing and make it go, and he left me in the field, and I've been working my tail off ever since. I've got a farmer's work ethic, and that's the background that I bring to the table. I did come to FSU and got my bachelor's degree while I was working at FSU Police Department, patrolling the very grounds that we're sitting on right now back in the early 90s. I moved over to the sheriff's office in 94, began as a patrol deputy, worked my way through a lot of the ranks, was a robbery task force detective, actually working for the task force when Chief McNeil was the chief, and I got sent over there by the lieutenant sitting across the table who's now the appointed sheriff. So, I mean, it was a great opportunity for me to learn. I ran the training section. I was a training sergeant. I was a field training sergeant. I've trained most of the sheriff's office at some point in time, how to fight, drive, shoot, you name it. That's what I've done. When I retired last September, after 25 years in law enforcement, I was a night shift watch commander, still going to people's homes, walking into people's homes at night, asking them what we could do to help them, how we could serve our community better, talking to the deputies and the police officers on our streets on an operational level. The last time I put handcuffs or had to fight somebody over a gun was a year ago on the 7th. down off of Pensacola Street. A kid wanted for armed robbery out of another state, gang member, stolen gun, laid hands on him, just patting him down. All of a sudden, the fight's on. So I'm plugged into what our community needs and what our law enforcement officers need to make a difference. So I bring a different perspective there. I did go back and get my MBA from FSU. My alma mater is FSU times two. In 2010, I left. My wife, Donna, was having my 8-year-old daughter now, Jessie, and she had her. I left the hospital, went to my first night class. So it was a tough haul, working full-time, going to school, running the training section. It was a tough go, but we knew it was worth it in the long run. You know, as other people have said, you know, you look back and you go, this was for a reason. And out of that, our business, Talent Training, as you mentioned, my business partner, JD, and I founded that, and we've trained thousands of people in our community, over 6,000 people to carry concealed, 2,500 members out there at the range. We've had 20-something thousand people come through the door. World of difference we've made in this community. You've heard me on the other programs talk about this stuff. I got four kids, two teenage daughters, an 8-year-old daughter. My 4-year-old little boy, CJ, he wants to be just like his daddy, but unfortunately, the people on the camera can tell. We hope CJ has more hair than his dad, but yeah. Other than that, he wants to be like me, and I'm going to foster that as much as I can. And my wife, Donna. Donna's had me around for 15 years. She tolerates me, which is the main thing. And, so I'm running to make a difference. I do bring a different perspective. I'm hoping to be the first elected Republican sheriff in Leon County. With the recent moves that were made, that makes that a very, very real possibility for the first time. And so I'm super, super excited about that. And I think as we go through today, you'll see some other key things come out that I bring that are a little different mix.
Our political perspectives continues on WFSU, both on the audio side with WFSU-FM and also for FSU, the video side, where we have recorded this for broadcast this evening at 7:30. We have Democrat Walt McNeil, Republican Charlie Strickland, and NPA candidate Mike Wood, the incumbent sheriff of Leon County. And your calls and emails, of course, always welcome at 414-1234. Telephonically, it's perspectives@wfsu.org if you want to drop us an email for our candidates, and we'll be right back. Back on Political Perspectives, the race for Leon County Sheriff with Mike Wood, Walt McNeil, and Charlie Strickland here on WFSU. Hey, primary bandwagon coming up August 8th for Leon County races. That'll be at 7 o'clock Eastern, of course, on 4FSU, Comcast Channel 4 in Leon, Gadsden, Wakulla, Madison, Taylor, and Brooks counties. Primary bandwagon number 2 will be August 10th. That'll be for Gadsden and Wakulla County races, also at 7 on 4FSU, and the general election bandwagon on September 26th. If you're new to that, it's a lot of fun. You have the hooping and hollering of the backers of the various candidates. They get 3 minutes to say whatever they want to say, and then they are sung into oblivion by the Capitol Cordsmen, which is always a ton of fun. As we continue our discussion of the sheriff's race, and by the way, there is another NPA in the mix, Tommy Mills, who has not joined us. Perhaps before the end of the hour, we will be hearing from candidate Mills, but we shall see. One thing I wanted to throw out to all three of you, though, and I think, Walt McNeil, you had mentioned that too, the statistics for crime in this area. And there are statistics, plural, because you have separate databases for Tallahassee Police Department and Leon County Sheriff's Department, which can sometimes be a little bit of a challenge to figure out who's doing what to whom when it comes to law enforcement reaction to what's going on. Excuse me. You talk to someone at the sheriff's office, say, how many homicides have we had so far this year? And they'll say, well, 3. And then you call TPD and ask the same question, and they say, 10. Well, you've had 10 within city limits. You've had 3 in the unincorporated area. Any thoughts on combining those databases? Is that a useful law enforcement tool that you folks could avail yourself of as sheriff? And let's start in the other direction. Charlie Strickland, what do you think?
Well, first off, the Tallahassee and Leon County community is that. It is a community that goes from Highway 20 at the dam out there all the way to Jefferson County up to Georgia, down to the Wakulla County line, Liberty County. We border a lot of counties, and it is community-wide, and our efforts have to be community-wide. When the voters go to the polls on November the 8th, they're going to vote for a sheriff of Leon County, not a police chief, not a sheriff just in the county. The sheriff in Leon County is responsible for the entire community. So all of those stats, those people – they're not stats, they're people – all of those people – the sheriff is accountable for protecting all of them, the sheriff's office, working closer with the Tallahassee Police Department, making sure that we are using the same numbers, the same stats, the same databases, the same information, the same intel units, the same software, doing those things, making sure we have very similar, if not identical, policies in a lot of ways. Now, there's different philosophies between the two agencies. The sheriff's office is more community service oriented due to the fact they have an elected official. The police department is more of a corporate-run mentality because the chief answers to a couple of assistant city managers, how that works, your bureaucracy. So the sheriff has to reach out. And when we talk about numbers, you can't disown stats or what's happened to people because that's not where you patrol. The sheriff's office has about 700 employees. The sheriff can speak more to the exact numbers. He sees them every day. And most of those 700 employees, when they're at work, are working inside the city. There's a few school resource deputies out in the county. There's probably a dozen deputies out in the county at any one given time. But the bulk of those people are in the city. We own these numbers. We own this reputation as a community. And it's going to take real leadership, new direction, new energy to make a real difference in that. I mean, I've heard it said before where their statistics are what they are. I can't swallow that. Less than a year ago, I was going in people's homes telling them about their family members, looking them in the eye. And I tell you, it's a tough job. And so it's a very personal thing to me. When people call me and go, what do? My son got arrested or my daughter was in a wreck I could go on, but I won't. I'll cut it off at that point.
Okay. Well, Walt McNeil, same thing as far as a little bit more coordination, consolidation, to use not the consolidation of city and county. That's a totally different issue and contentious in and of itself. But as far as using whether it's crime statistics or response protocols or anything else, city, county.
Tom, that is quite honestly the crux of our problem as it relates to crime in our community. The fact that we have two disparate systems of information, which means we have two disparate response initiatives as well as it relates to how we deal with crime. Now, here's how I break that down. Right now, the city of Tallahassee has a request for information on the streets for a records management system. The city of Tallahassee, in that request for information, indicates that they have a desire to move from UCR reporting to what's called the National Incident-Based System, which is a totally different system than we currently use in terms of how we compile information about crime. UCR data only captures about 26 or so crime areas or categories. Basically, property crime, person crime, doesn't catch all crimes that are committed. So the entire country is moving towards this new national incident system. Now, the problem is when the Tallahassee Police Department moves in that direction, if they go forward with this, this request for information, the Sheriff's Department isn't. What I continue to say is that we have to, for our citizens' sake, we have to work in unison. It takes leadership to understand the nuances of what's taking place in our community and to get in front of the issue. If I were sheriff right now, I'd be sitting down with the city of Tallahassee talking about their records management system, how we can do that as a unified law enforcement organization. One of the ways we've got to fight crime in our community is we can't fight crime in isolation. We cannot continue to have Tallahassee police officers limited by memorandums of agreement that won't allow officers and deputies to most effectively cooperate and work together so that we break down barriers. Much of that starts with the information that we have that comes in and how we collate that information and then how we put that information back into the hands of the officers on the streets. So that is one of the major pieces of the failure that we currently have, not to mention our dispatch. One of the things we have to have is a platform in terms of our dispatch center that is connected to our records management system so that all the information goes into a computer and analyzed and then given to the officers in an effective way so that we know where to place officers and deputies, so we know exactly where crime's taking place and how most effectively to respond to it. We also have in the mix that's not being contemplated, and I hope – one of the things I love about this is that I give these things out and folks go back and they deal with them. But I hope we have a jail management system as well that is not collated, is not shared. There's all kind – I won't talk about all the information we get from the jail management system that officers need on the, in the field because some of that is sensitive information. But I will tell you that all those computer enhancements are what's needed right now and is definitely going to be needed in the future to make our officers and our deputies more effective. And that's a function of leadership to make those things happen. When I'm your sheriff, I'll do that.
Okay. Mike, since you were involved particularly with the planning and the implementation of consolidated dispatch and all these things, it kind of falls in something that you'd already been working on. So your thoughts on that?
Well, you know, I'm going to go back to the original question. In the UCR stats, they are a bit convoluted, and that's been my contention. We cannot drive our direction of travel based solely on those stats. I'm not denying the stats. I'm not denying the responsibility the sheriff's office has in this community. I've shouldered that responsibility for 33 years. We are moving to IRBRS, which is the incident-based national reporting system. I was at the National Sheriff's Conference and heard the director of the FBI talk about trying to migrate the entire nation to that, because it's more of an effective system to measure crime. And I'll give you a classic example. We've reported in 2015 21 homicides in the Tallahassee-Leon area, irrespective of inside or outside the city. But the interesting thing about that was when I researched those, four of those 21 homicides were reported by FDLE. Well, they didn't occur in Leon County. They occurred throughout the state as in-custody deaths. But FDLE's ORI reporting number lent those four homicides to our community statistically. So I'm not in an uproar about FDLE or that. All I'm saying is let's be practical. Let's look at this system. It does need to be updated. It does need to be modified. So I don't want to make every decision based solely on a statistical number. And that's not to hide from the fact. As it relates to the consolidated dispatch, there's two issues there. And one is you know, as it relates to cooperation between the sheriff's office and the police department, there's constant collaboration and cooperation. And we have a mutual aid agreement in place that allows for the closest unit to respond to any 911 emergency incident, level one incident. So what happens is if a police officer is in Woodville on his way to work and there's a 911 call and he's identified geographically in proximity to that call, he or she goes. That's the plan. And that plan wouldn't function without the mutual aid agreement, which is paramount. And so, you know, the CDA was a ground-up creation, if you will, that I inherited as sheriff, but certainly participated in as a major in the construction of that process, and it was not without hiccup. But I would tell you that we have paid close attention. We've been delivered in our actions. We have a new director. We have made catastrophic advances in the last 6 to 8 months with Director Crumpler on board. Motorola just did an upgrade to our system very recently that impacts the safety of our officers on a daily basis, because that's what it comes down to. It's about the safety of the police officers and the deputy sheriffs in this community. You know, I don't draw jurisdictional lines. The legislature does. So we work hand in glove with the police department, Chief DeLeo, Deputy Chief Forseth, any number of the folks at the Tallahassee Police Department will tell you that we have a collaborative system. As it relates to the records management, here's what I can tell you. I'm not up to date on the daily processes for RFPs as the city of Tallahassee goes forward improving or changing their technology. What I can tell you is 3 years ago when we did Motorola Premier One CAD system, we implemented a Motorola records management system identical to the one purchased by the city of Tallahassee. Ours has been up and running. And that's what we utilized. The one the city of Tallahassee purchased was never plugged in and never put into function. I don't know why. I'm not the person that directs the city of Tallahassee on how to do their business. But what I will tell you is this. absent the name brands of the systems, the communications is exchanged. We exchange information. Our UCR stats are uploaded. The crimes that we investigate inside the city are reported as city crimes because they're supposed to be. That's how it works. So I don't try to separate the city from the county. I'm the sheriff of Leon County, and we take full ownership of the entire process. And we've got some things, and I'm sure we'll get a chance to talk about it going forward. But the CDA has made huge strides forward, in part to my leadership to the board. And the last thing I would only want to say is, you know, as it relates to the jail management system, in 2009, when I was transferred to the jail as a major, we had no jail management system. It was handwritten logs, and I was appalled at that. It was atrocious. And within 3 years, among a ton of improvements that we made at our Leon County Jail, we implemented a jail management system that ties to the local CJIS system that is available to the Tallahassee Police Department and other local law enforcement agencies.
414-1234, the number to call for perspectives. We do have a caller, Jennings, on the line. Hi, Jennings. Welcome.
Hi, thanks for having me on. I have a quick question for Mike Wood. I'm wondering why, when you're running as an independent, your Facebook and all of your signs say that you're running as a Democrat. Don't you think that's a little misleading to voters?
Well, I don't think it's misleading because I am a Democrat. I registered as a Democrat in October of 1983 and have not changed my party affiliation. So there were political strategies that occurred late in the qualifying week. Quite candidly, we felt like we positioned ourselves to draw the entire vote of Leon County. What we have in effect done is created a circumstance where all four candidates are on the ballot and every voter in Leon County has the privilege to vote for whom they wish. That's a level playing field. I think that I think that based on what I hear and what I believe in my heart, that criminal activity and protection from criminal activity is not a partisan issue. But I'm running as an NPA, and my signs have been altered to reflect that. But I'm a registered Democrat.
Okay. And Charlie Strickland, you started out as NPA, and then you went Republican. Same kind of situation there?
We chose our path early on. We knew what we needed to do. We saw a path to success, and we were following that. When two of the candidates abandoned their bases in the 11th hour at the last minute, just a few hours to spare, and left their bases, we saw an opportunity, a huge opportunity, as a Republican, to return to my base and to try to galvanize and solidify my base. Republicans have been marginalized in Leon County for a very long time. They haven't had a say. I remember when I came to Leon County why I had to register the way I did, because I worked for a Democratic elected sheriff. And so that's where I was until I found out I didn't have to do that anymore because he was leaving office. Gave me an opportunity to return to my base where my loyalties lie. Although I want to appeal across the board to everybody, I was able to go home, so to speak, and am now presented with a historic opportunity to go forward and be the first elected Leon County Republican sheriff.
Okay, and Walt McNeil.
Tom, I don't know anything about the political maneuvering because I didn't move. I didn't do any kind of movement, so I'm not involved in a political movement that Mike talks about. But the fact of the matter is, I'm a Democrat. I ran as a Democrat. I'm running as a Democrat. And I'm not, you know, I hear Mike say that it's not disingenuous to have Democrat out. But if you're a Democrat, you're a Democrat. I mean, run as what you are. And to become an no party affiliate, are you a Democrat or you're not affiliated with your party? To say I'm not affiliated with my party, but to want to carry the mantra of your party just seems disingenuous. I don't know about the politics of it, but I'm just simply saying from where I sit and what I look at, that looks like it's not, just if we were in another place and you didn't have to, if it was nonpartisan, it is partisan. And you're a Democrat. And he's saying he's a Democrat. But at the same time, he's saying, I'm running as a no-party affiliate. I believe that misleads the public. I believe the caller believe it's misleading. And, I guess politically there's a reason to do that. And it's all about politics. It's not about lowering crime. That has nothing to do with lowering crime. It's only about getting elected, I guess.
Okay, well, let me give Mike Wood a chance to respond there.
Well,
Mike.
My response to that is fairly simple. It is about lowering crime, and it's about having the right leader in position to do it. And I feel like that move positioned me to be in the best place to be there to do that because I feel like I'm the right person. What I would say is I would be cautious with the word disingenuous because of the letters that you mail to all of my donors clearly indicates that partisan politics should have nothing to do with the protection of the law enforcement in this community. So all the people on my donor list that are receiving your letters, including today as we speak, they're hearing your message and in that partisan politics has no place here. Charlie Strickland legitimately early on came out. His position was, I feel like the sheriff's office should be a nonpartisan race. He's on a YouTube video saying that. So, you know, politics is part of the process. We have an elected sheriff, and it involves politics. So I feel like in the interest of the community, I'm the best guy for the job. I made a strategic decision. I'm not disingenuous. All of your voting information is public record. I registered as a Democrat in 1983, and I've never changed my party affiliation since. I just positioned myself to be in the best place so that all the voters – and that's very important here – everybody in Leon County should have a say in who their sheriff is. Everybody. Therefore, that is the environment we have created. It's a level playing field. And when this is over, if one of the candidates at this table walk away with the sheriff's job, then it will be decided by the Leon County voters.
Okay. Let me just answer this. I just want to make sure I understood it correctly because I can agree with what Mike just said. If he just said, what I heard was, this was a politically motivated maneuver that I made. Is that correct?
Sure. I mean, this is a political race, if I'm not confused here. So as it relates to how to get to the finish line first, political maneuvering, and I would suggest you're very familiar with that, is part of the process.
Okay. We have a law enforcement question that we will be getting to on the other side of the break right here on Political Perspectives. The race for Leon County Sheriff. We'll be right back. If you're just joining us on Political Perspectives, the race for Leon County Sheriff with contenders Walt McNeil, Charlie Strickland, and Mike Wood. Bandwagon dates again coming up on the primary for Leon County races, which will be August 8th on Comcast Channel 4 at 7 in the evening. Primary bandwagon number 2, August 10th for Gadsden and Wakulla County races, also at 7 on 4FSU, which is Comcast Channel 4. Which you may receive in Leon, Gadsden, Wakulla, Madison, Taylor, and Brooks counties. And we'll tell you more about the general election bandwagon coming up on September 26th. This via email, one of the candidates stood up in legislative committee and openly opposed the NRA proposal for open carry and campus carry. Would each of you oppose or support these proposals in front of the legislature if introduced again, which Marion Hammer tells us is more likely than not to occur? Let's start with you, Walt McNeil.
The questions are supporting open carry.
And campus carry.
Mm-hmm. Open carry as defined as?
Let's see. The last go-around in the legislature was analogous, I believe, to concealed carry. If you had a concealed carry permit, that would also legitimize open carriage of weaponry, particularly handguns.
Yeah, that's been an issue that I've kind of gone back and forth on with respect to open and concealed carry. Obviously, concealed carry with a permit is right now what we have. The open carry issue, I look at this sometimes from the prism of being a law enforcement officer and which directions are officers most likely to be in harm's way. In some instances, I look at that and go, if a person has a weapon and they can carry it openly and the officer sees it, he or she is better prepared to respond to it. In the other circumstance, if the person's carrying it and it's concealed and there's something going on, so I'm kind of torn between these two issues. I certainly understand and certainly support the Second Amendment right to carry. Open carry seems to be something I need to look at more. I can move in that direction if I can get some understanding in terms of how it impacts deputies and officers when responding to situations. But as the law currently stands, I support it.
Oh, okay. Mike, what do you think?
Well, first of all, And I think I may be the candidate they referred to. I didn't stand in front of the legislature and openly oppose open carry or campus carry. I'll tell you my position on that. But my actual representative at the legislature had to do with expanding the current law to allow for inadvertent disclosures in the statute. But that being said, my position was I opposed open carry. I stand by that, and I'm an absolute Second Amendment advocate. I'm a gun owner, a gun enthusiast. I shoot purely for recreational purposes most of the time, with the exception of the training that I'm required to conduct. So my position on that is, much like Chief said, you know, I always see it, always from the eyes of a law enforcement officer. And my perspective is this, and, you know, I've been the benefactor of training from Charlie, but, you know, we're focused on the issue. We're focused on the immediate threat. Now, I will be the first to tell you that the law-abiding gun carry permit holders in this state of Florida are a wonderful group of law-abiding citizens. So, therefore, with their weapon concealed, I don't worry about those people because we don't experience criminal activity from those people. But the other side of that coin is when I see a gun, I'm fixated on that as the immediate threat. And I just sense if open carry were allowed, it could create – I mean, I could identify a multitude of scenarios, robbery responses, a host of domestic violence responses, things of that nature. It's not my intention or my effort to keep guns out of the hands of law-abiding Americans, because that's not what I would do. But I just look at it as a law enforcement officer responding, you know, all hours of the night, all sorts of circumstances. And as Charlie has said earlier, you never really know what you're getting into until you've gotten into it. And that just creates a visual threat that requires the attention of that deputy sheriff or that police officer in its entirety until that is dispelled, that could divert them from really what the real problem is. So that's how I see open carry as a general rule. Campus carry, I was opposed to campus carry. And I'm still there for now as a father of two college students on Florida State campus, actually. But I have said openly, and I say this, I think we need to look at specifically in Texas. There are some public universities in Texas that have gone to campus carry. I think it would be irresponsible for us not to see how that is manifesting itself and how it's going to, and make an educated decision going forward. But I acknowledge that I was opposed to it originally.
Oh, okay, and your thoughts, Charlie Strickland?
Well, you're in my wheelhouse now. But I will try to keep it brief. I think everybody's it's funny, everybody's on the fence. I mean, the sheriff did have a press conference with the mayor saying that Tallahassee wouldn't be a safer place with
open carry. That is actually totally not true. I never had a press conference with the mayor. I was out of town when the mayor – when that article came out.
Okay.
I did not have a press conference with the mayor.
I'm misinformed on that issue.
You are.
But you did say that at the time you were opposed to
– My position is what I just said, and it was what I just said. Okay. But I had no press conference with anybody.
All right. Well, let me be crystal clear on my stance. First, as it pertains to open carry, as a former law enforcement officer for 25 years who did, in fact, train a lot of people, scenario-based training, hands-on training, I've done that. I've been out there. Like I said, I've touched another person's gun that wasn't supposed to have it within the last year. I want to see the gun if it's there. I walk into a situation. I walk into a restaurant and I see the sheriff or somebody in plain clothes with the butt of a gun sticking out of a holster. I can't tell who they are from behind, so that's not going to be that much different than what we already have now. So I think that visible weapons serve as a deterrent when people are looking for easy targets. I think that as a concealed carry permit holder myself and a former law enforcement officer and other people, there are times when I go to pump gas and I left my range and I forgot to cover my gun up. Well, you got to be careful with that, because technically under the law now, even though it's temporary and inadvertent, it's up to somebody's decision. So the laws as they were written the last time as it pertains to open carry, and was supported by the Florida Police Chiefs Association, by the way, and opposed by the Sheriff's Association, which is the opposite from what you would expect. One's generally seen more conservative than the other. Well, the fact is that officers are still allowed to do their job, to challenge people, ask for permits under this legislation, to see their permit. You can't carry openly when you're intoxicated. Law enforcement officers' rights are protected, the rights of the citizens, and to be free from harassment by law enforcement officers that might not agree with their ability to carry, is they're free from that. Okay, so under the legislation as it was proposed, I think it's a great opportunity for us. On campus carry, I also have two college-age daughters. And I've thought long and hard about this. My oldest daughter would be 20. She's been through the NRA instructor school. She's a responsible gun owner. When she's 21, I don't want her to have to disarm herself to go to school. I don't want my other daughter, when she's old enough, to feel threatened in the same way. Gun-free zones aren't attractant to violent crime. And I'm not asking you to be able to carry guns in a bar. I mean, that's just not responsible. But carrying guns to class to protect yourself, I know college professors that do it even though they're not supposed to. The fact is I expect that reasonable, law-abiding gun owners who have gone through a background check, who are adults, who are sober, who haven't broken the law in any way, shape, form, or fashion, should be able to carry a firearm and protect themselves, even on campus.
We've only got just a few moments left, and I want to give everyone a chance to talk about visioning for the Sheriff's Department here, if you get the nod from voters individually. But not all crime, of course, is violent and firearm-related and all that. An awful, awful lot of it is lower-level misdemeanor or even less kinds of things. So one thing that came up was Commissioner Bill Proctor's marijuana citation proposal, which would allow, to a degree, more discretion for officers based on any number of factors, kind of getting back to the old-fashioned policing where in many instances the officer, instead of automatically arresting a juvenile suspect, let's say, would be able to do the old, if I ever see, you know, that sort of thing. What are your thoughts on that, maybe for the lower-level nonviolent offenses, giving more discretion to the deputy to issue a citation vis-a-vis bringing him in? Mike Wood.
Well, Commissioner Proctor and I talked about this, and the only counter I had to that was we're already doing it. Now, Chief McNeil claims credit for creating the civil citation, but I'm a fan. I think the civil citation process is beneficial to the community, to the criminal justice system, and to the very defendant that you don't create because you give this person another opportunity. So we have juvenile and, quite frankly, adult civil citations for lower-level crimes, and I think it serves a purpose. I think the very justification for having it is not to introduce young people to the criminal justice system, which begins to inhibit their opportunities as they move through life. And so with that said, I'm certainly a supporter, and as the sheriff, I can tell you we execute civil citations for both adults and juveniles.
Okay, and well, McNeil, as the originator anyway, do you sometimes wonder, though, maybe there's too much discretion where the officer could say, okay, based on appearance, race, whatever factor, okay, same situation, but this one's going in, this one's getting the ticket?
Well, The one thing that's clear is we want to make sure that our officers are trained and understand the whole idea of justice, and that's something we have to focus on in terms of how we train deputies and officers, to focus on trying to keep as many of our youth out of the system as we possibly can. We understand that if a person has one contact with the criminal justice system as a young person, his or her chances of going into the system increases by 50%. So we have to focus on and educate our deputies about that reality, that we don't want that to happen. But as relates to the proposal by Commissioner Proctor, my position on it, quite honestly, is that that's a and we all understand where he's going with it, and certainly trying to take discretion away from an officer isn't something that can be legislated at the county level. So my position and my conversation with him was that's an issue that needs to be taken to the legislature and propose that those changes at that level. But in terms of what we can do locally, I think we've done as much as we can, particularly with the civil citation program.
Okay. What do you think, Charlie Strickland?
Well, I, coming from the road recently, we can tell you that our Uniform Patrol Guidelines book that's published and put out at the Sheriff's Office said that if the person fits the criteria for a civil citation program, you shall issue a civil citation. We don't have a choice on the road. We ran into that with a Jameis Winston incident years ago where he fit the criteria and he was issued a civil citation. The sheriff knew about it at the time. You were there. We discussed it through the chain of command. And you know, that was the path that we had to follow based on our policy. The policy is already in place at the sheriff's office that if it's certain criteria are met, that is what we will do. Now, to move towards preventing our youth and youthful indiscretion, I mean, we need to start forming more partnerships in our community with the nonprofits and leading the way and finding ways to help prevent crime. Get back into schools, have our school resource deputies doing a little more education, a little less enforcement. I mean, I know they have a certain amount to do, but we've got to start getting plugged back in at that level. The civil citation program is absolutely valuable for whatever nonviolent offense and whatever path we choose to take going forward. But right now, that's our policy, and I don't foresee it changing anytime soon.
Okay, well, nice segue here into just the few moments we have left. In about a little over a minute, if we could all do that, talk about your vision for the future. Just kind of hit your top three, if you will. If elected sheriff, I will. Mike Wood.
Well, you know, as a result of being appointed sheriff, I can tell you we have put a huge emphasis on juveniles. We started a SPIRIT program, which is a web-based referral for at-risk youth. We're involved in the INVEST program as it relates to domestic violence, which ties to our children. We're involved in a program called Legion, which ties virtually every state and local law enforcement agency in gang obstruction processes. We have involved the sheriff's office in mentoring, where I have 50 employees that go once a week and read to third graders at Bond Elementary School. Our SRDs are in the schools. We are pushing the furthering the education and the programs, the preventative programs. And we're partnering with other organizations in, you know, our Explorers is a robust group. We have adventure camps throughout the summer. Through the Florida Sheriff's Association, we provide teen driving challenge. So we're doing a host of things as it relates to youth. I can tell you from a technology standpoint, we're doing CrimeView, which is a community-based. The community can look online and see real-time what's happening in their areas. We're about to implement and partner with an organization called Next Door to give us the ability to communicate directly with neighborhood associations. We've got body cameras coming at the end of the year. We've implemented Facebook and Twitter as a day-to-day operation at the sheriff's office, which was never there previously. So this is just a bit of a laundry list, a quick 60 seconds. I need 60 minutes to tell you that we're working hard and we're trying to improve and go forward because we do know that a different set of eyes is what we need. And I think we're doing some innovative things that we weren't doing before.
Thank you, sir. Walt McNeil.
Tom, the vision is for a safer Leon County. And that starts with leadership. And part of that has to deal with in terms of setting up systems of delivery that's sustainable. Sustainable delivery of services to the citizens of Leon County that's built around making sure that we utilize our resources as effectively as we possibly can to break down the various barriers that keep us from doing what we can do in terms of fighting crime. Also, we have to make sure that we look at the reality is that 60 to 70% of the people in Leon County live at or below the poverty level. We have to build a system that enables everybody to be engaged in, one, jobs, and then, secondly, in terms of education. What I proposed is to create what I call the Leon County Sheriff's Youth Ranch right here in Leon County that deals with STEM program, that's science, technology, engineering, and math, so that we can deal with our kids and get some kids off the streets just like they do through the ranches across the state. We also have to work on the law enforcement end in terms of making sure that we are as effective as we possibly can with all the technology that we have that's utilized. We'll break down one of the first things we're going to do is go in and deal with our joint dispatch center that's dysfunctional and get that working, get our records management system working so we can collate information so our deputies and officers can be effective.
Okay. And Charlie Strickland, you get the last word.
Well, thank you. Well, I'm not going to use any acronyms or talk about any technology. Okay. What we need to do is elect a candidate that has a fresh perspective, the energy, the drive, the education, and the passion to actually lead our community forward, because the sheriff's office is going to see a new day. We are met with challenges that we haven't seen heretofore, violent crime rate that is beyond belief. We've got to do a lot. And I'm not trying to keep a corner office, and I'm certainly not trying to get back to one. I think that it's time Leon County looked for new leadership, a new direction. What we're doing is not working. What we did 10 years ago to another agency, that solution's not going to work for the sheriff's office either. So we have to look for new solutions, and we have to do that by building bridges in the community. We have to go to our nonprofits, go to our faith-based organizations, and find out, because the solutions to where we need to be in Leon County are within a mile of this studio. All we have to do is to plug into these groups, and the sheriff needs to lead the way, needs to bring these people to the table. Let's find a cohesive community-based direction, and let's go in that direction. So it's going to take a new perspective, and it's going to take a new direction and that energy and drive. And I'm excited about this opportunity to do exactly that.
Thank you, Republican Charlie Strickland, also Democrat Walt McNeil, and no party affiliate Mike Wood, the incumbent sheriff of Leon County. Those are three of the four contenders for the job of Leon County Sheriff. We hope to catch up with also NPA Tommy Mill somewhere around the campaign trail. And I'm Tom Flanagan. Thank you so much for tuning into Perspectives, which is produced by WFSU in Tallahassee. Technical assistance from Taylor Cox and Lydell Rawls, and Suzanne Smith, Paul Dam, Randy Staney, Becca Alves, Jason Ram Sumer, Paul Delva, and Frankie Verticia has been providing all the 4FSU support. Tomorrow we'll continue our political perspectives with the race for Leon County School Superintendent. We'll reconnect then right here on Perspectives.
Copies of Perspectives are available by calling 1-800-829-8809. Log on to WFSU.org for online archives and podcast. Perspectives is a production of 88.9 WFSU-FM, Tallahassee.